Friends, our readings today are a beautiful description of how God sees us. How God, in the first reading, absolutely delights in every single one of us. How God, in the second reading, has given each of us a mission, a task, a unique and unrepeatable task in the church and in the building up of the kingdom that He's given to no one else. And then in the gospel that Jesus desires spiritually to fill us to the brim with His love and with His grace and His strength. And so these readings are all about how God sees us. Yesterday, our Christian leadership program, CLP we call it, had our retreat. And we were supposed to go up to Camp DeSales and we decided to stay overnight here. Instead, and we had it was a wonderful retreat, but CLP3 ran the retreat, and they picked the theme, and the theme they picked was Made for Greatness. And this was the quote that was sort of the motto of the retreat. It was from, they picked it from Pope Benedict. He said, "The ways of the Lord are not easy, but we were not created for an easy life, but for great things, for goodness. The world offers you comfort, but you were not made for comfort. You were made for greatness." The theme song of our retreat was a song called Thrive by Casting Crowns. You might have heard the song. And the last lines of the chorus echoing the theme of the retreat says this: "We were made for so much more than ordinary lives. It's time for us to more than just survive. We were made to thrive." So the retreat sort of put before us that we were not called as Christians, as people made in the image and likeness of God, to settle for mediocrity, to settle for complacency in the status quo, but to strive with the promptings of God's grace to be great. And all of the readings then focus on this theme. The first reading in Isaiah, this beautiful image that I don't think we ponder enough, which is that God looks down on each and every one of us and smiles. That God delights is the language. God delights in us. That God looks down at you and smiles and says to Himself, "I am proud to have created that person, that beloved son or daughter," right? And we heard a little bit about this last weekend when Jesus, that God spoke over Jesus and all of us as adopted sons and daughters, those words that are spoken to us as well. "You are my beloved son or daughter. With you I am well pleased." Right? That we don't have to earn the fact that God delights in us. God is already impressed with us. He's created us. We're beautiful and He delights in looking at us. The second reading focuses on the fact that we have a unique, unrepeatable task in the church, in the building up of the kingdom of God. That God bestows His gifts differently on different people. None of us has a monopoly on serving the church. None of us can make up for the contributions that another person needs to make. And that there's a great sort of humility in accepting that we have a particular role, a particular mission, a particular contribution to make that no one else can make. On the one hand, it's incredibly exhilarating. On the other hand, it's an act of humility to accept that I can't do it all myself, that I need the other members of the body to step up and make their contributions as well. I was thinking of that this morning, not with spiritual gifts, but with jobs. And I thought, thank God there are people committed to snow removal. But thank God that there are people that are faithful to that task. Like every day I walk into a room and the only reason I can see in the room is because the electrician set up the lighting in the room. Like all of the various ways, just in terms of living in the world, that the small contributions, often unseen of others, make my life possible. I couldn't preach to you today if there were no snowplowers. That's the reality. And it's the same in the building up of the kingdom. That our contribution, even though often seemingly small and unseen, is necessary for the building up of other people. So we have a unique, unrepeatable task in the building up of the kingdom. Then we have this incredible gospel, the wedding feast at Cana. I got to go to Cana a number of years ago. I'm sure Luke was recently in Cana. And, of course, they're known for their wine there. The wine is terrible because they mass produce it because they sell it. I bought as much as they'd let me ship back to the U.S. because I give it to married couples or when I perform their wedding. It's an incredible miracle for a lot of reasons. One, that Jesus was attentive to the humanity of the situation. Like, this is not a spiritual concern. This is a human concern. If you run out of alcohol at your wedding reception, it's embarrassing. It is. And Jesus was so attentive to the human need of the couple and the family to not be embarrassed in the situation, which is a fascinating way of seeing Jesus, that he was not just spiritually attentive. He was attentive to the human need as well. But the line that I think fits in with this theme of made for greatness is that little line that the servers filled the jars to the brim. Because that's what God wants for us. Like, he wants our heart not to be status quo. He wants to fill us spiritually to the brim, to the brink of capsizing, to the brink of overflowing. Right? That doesn't mean life's not going to have suffering and all sorts of things. But he wants us internally to be filled to the brim. Right? He says in John's Gospel, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Have life to the full. Not just like partially decent, but I want you to have life and have it in abundance. I want to fill you to the brim, to the brink of overflowing. So that that divine life that is overflowing in you will flow out and touch others. And so we see in this story, and we see in all three of the readings, this call of what God sees in us, the potential that God sees in us, that he delights in us, that he's given us a unique, unrepeatable mission in the building up of the kingdom that no one else has, and that he desires, in the symbolic language of the wedding feast at Cana, to fill us to the brim, to the brink of overflowing. But he needs our contribution. That's the great dynamic at play in the wedding feast story. Because notice, the miracle does not happen if the servers don't go fill up the jars. The miracle does not happen if the servers don't exercise their freedom and their human effort to go and fill up these six stone jars. That it requires both the prompting of Jesus and divine grace, but also the human effort of the servers and the head waiter to cooperate with that grace in order to fill the jars up to the brim. And so authentic Christian spirituality is somewhere always between what we might call quietism and activism. Quietism says, God, I let God do everything. A hyper super activism says, I can save myself in the world without God. I'm in charge. I'm in control. It's my contribution only. Authentic Christian spirituality is somewhere between quietism and activism, in which both human effort and God's activity, God's grace, God's intervention, and the contributions of others are at play in helping us to build up the kingdom. And so, friends, we were all made for greatness. We were all made to thrive. We were all made to be filled to the brim. Let us cooperate with the God who looks down upon us, each and every one of us, with delight. And just like the fact that we know our parents love us unconditionally shouldn't motivate us to act out wildly, right? The fact that God loves us unconditionally and delights in us should make us want to take that overflowing water, living water that's planted in our soul, and to let it internally transform us so that it overflows through us to the world. Amen.